What's this a picture of?
Sheep.
A shepherd's flock? Yeah, so, okay, well, you're ahead of me. so, who looks after the sheep? How do they know what to do? Where do they lead them? A shepherd, exactly. You're on top of things. Huh? A farmer? Yeah, maybe the farmer could be the shepherd. He could do both, right? But they need someone to lead them, right? Exactly. And did y'all know we're the same way? You know, we're God's flock, and we need a shepherd, and we need a leader. But and like Mr. Allen and Mr. Brian, they're kind of they're leaders, and we kind of think of them as leaders because they get up and talk a lot in front of the church. But did you know that everyone in here is a leader to someone? We're a shepherd to someone, all of us. And I want y'all to listen to what the Bible says real quick. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." So just like we have leaders like Mr. Allen, Mr. Brian, just like I said, we're all leaders. Y'all are all leaders to someone. Y'all are all a shepherd to someone. And y'all are supposed to be an example. Like if you have younger brothers, younger sisters, you're supposed to be an example of how to live a godly life to them. So just because you're young and you know, haven't been around as long as some people, that doesn't mean y'all aren't leaders to someone too. Because there's people that look up to y'all, younger brothers or sisters, or just a younger friend. And they need to know how to live godly lives. And that's why we need to pour into the Word to learn to know how to live godly lives. And you can teach them about Jesus. Because we're all leaders to someone, whether we know it or not. There's people watching you, looking up to you at school, in your home. And they need to know about God and how to live for Him. Okay? So let's pray. All right? Dear Lord, I thank you for leaders, Lord, that you put people in our lives to help us, God, know how to live for you, God. And so I thank you for the leaders of this church who we know have a heart for you, Lord, that they're committed to you and that they love you with all that they are. And I pray the same for everyone in this room, God, and for these kids, that they're committed to you and love you with all their being, so that as people see them and look at them, Lord, they can be an example of a godly life and of a person who knows Jesus. Because, Lord, these kids have friends and have younger brothers and sisters who look up to them, Lord. So I just pray you teach us how to be leaders for you. And we just ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Y'all turn them light. Can them lights come up any more than that? I'm kind of half blind. Well, it's a pleasure to be here again tonight. Man, what a great crowd. Man, I tell you, we have... I didn't know if the summer would be a little down, but some of y'all may be leaving after this, and I don't really know where everybody's going, but the ones that are staying here, man, praise God for you guys. And so tonight we're going to continue in 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, and I've entitled this particular message, "Committed Leaders Must Be Committed to God." But before we get into 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, I wanted to go back into 1 Peter 4:19, and just kind of start. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about leaders. "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." We see at the end of chapter 4 that Peter is encouraging those who suffer according to God's will to commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This idea of committing themselves, it's a conscious act of their will that they got to decide ahead of time. And even in the midst of suffering, we've got to get to this point to where we commit ourselves. We make it an act of our will to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. We can't let up because you're blessed. The Bible tells us that you're blessed and you're fortunate when we suffer for doing good. Okay, but our God is faithful, and that's what we got to do. We got to commit ourselves to our God who is faithful. And as he starts in chapter 5, he's doing as he did in the area of submission. He's focusing on a specific group in chapter 5. And it's the specific, in this context, it's the elders, the leaders, or the shepherds. Peter's taking this opportunity to encourage those leading these believers to do the same thing as he was telling to other believers to do, to commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And it is so important in the area of leadership, because leadership is sometimes a thankless job, because you take most of the hits and shoulder most of the responsibility. That's why many people run from it. And y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, everybody comes up with a good idea. Hey, let's do this. Come on, let's do that. Who wants to be the leader? Boy, everybody puts their hands in their pockets. Nobody wants to lead, you know, because of the responsibility. And just like, for some reason, there's something about that word leadership that makes people say, I'll just be a follower, okay? But really, that's not what we're called to be as Christians. I mean, because just like we talked before, we're leading somebody somewhere, okay? So we're all leaders. But in his book on spiritual leadership, J. Oswald Sanders writes about the area of ambition for leadership. Even though most of us don't desire to be leaders, let's listen to what J. Oswald Sanders says. And he's talking about this particular verse in 1 Timothy 3:1 in the New English Bible. We read, to aspire to leadership is an honorable ambition. Okay? For some of y'all say, yeah, I want to be a leader. And the NIV, it says, it's a noble task. To aspire to leadership is an honorable ambition. In his book on spiritual leadership, J. Oswald Sanders writes about the area of ambition for leadership. Part of the tension is the difference between Paul's situation and ours. We may understand his statement in terms of prestige and respect given to Christian leaders today, but such was far from Paul's mind. In his day, a bishop faced great danger and worrisome responsibility. Rewards for the work of leading the church were hardship, contempt, and rejection. The leader was the first to draw fire in persecution. He was the first in line to suffer. Seen in this light, Paul's encouragement does not seem so open to misuse by people merely seeking status in the church. Phonies would have had little heart for such a difficult assignment. Under the dangerous circumstances which prevailed in the first century, even stout-hearted Christians needed encouragement and incentive to lead. And so Paul called leadership an honorable ambition. It's an honorable ambition to say, God, I know that it's going to be some suffering. I know there's going to be some shots fired up here, but for you, I want to be a leader. You know, it's an honorable ambition. And we're continuing on in the quote. In many troubled areas today, spiritual leadership is no task for those who seek stable benefits and upscale working conditions. Paul urges us to work to the work of leading the church, the most important work in the world. Y'all get that? When our motives are right, this work pays eternal dividends. In Paul's day, only a deep love for Christ and a genuine concern for the church would motivate people to lead. And that's what it takes. It takes a deep love for Christ and a concern for the church. And that's why I titled it this week, Committed Leaders Must Be Committed to God. You can't lead anybody until you first commit yourself to God. It's an honorable ambition to want to serve God no matter the cost. And this verse and this little statement really means a lot to me, because when I was taking Shepherd 2 with Butch, I mean, over the years, I've been a leader at Living Hope, but I'm going to tell y'all, I never really wanted to be a leader. It wasn't never an ambition of mine. It was never a desire of mine to be a leader. And as I took this course and read this and realized that it is an honorable ambition to be a leader, when you're saying, you know what, I really don't want to be a leader, but what I have a heart for and what I did sign up for is to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, okay? And so I did have a heart for that, and that didn't just happen overnight. It happened one time early in my career at Living Hope, and I've shared that with y'all at the park. You know, God just challenged me with my business, and he challenged me, okay, do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength? And I settled that with him that day. And so from that day forward, my leadership, I still wasn't a leader at that point. I was just a member of the church, but I began to serve, and I began to say yes to God in a variety of different areas, okay? And all of a sudden, I became a leader. And I'm going to tell you, that's where it starts. It starts from saying, God, I want to serve you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, okay? And if you do that, you can't help but be a leader. Because God takes those who fall head over heels in love with him, and he exalts them to positions they don't even want to be exalted to. But God does that. You don't do that, okay? It freed me up for leadership. It freed me up to say, okay, God, I do want to be a leader. It's an honorable ambition to be a leader when you're saying all I want to do is love God with all my heart. Okay? But there's two wrong mindsets on leadership, and there may be more than that. I just thought of two. Okay? I'm sure there's way more than two. The first one is I can't. You've already I can't be a leader. You've already disqualified yourself. And when you say that, when you say I can't as a Christian, you're saying more of what you believe about God than what you believe about yourself. See, because God, the same creator that created this whole big thing that we call earth and this universe and everything, did all these things, it's the same God that can enable you to do that. Basically, when you're saying I can't, you're saying I won't. There's a difference, you know, because you can through Christ who gives you strength, okay? And so a lot of us disqualify ourselves for leadership because we just don't think we can. But when we do that, we're limiting God. It's a dangerous place to be, okay? Ask Jonah. And then another wrong mindset is self-appointed, ambition-minded leadership, or what I call I can. You got the I can'ts, and then you got those out there that I can. And those guys, those are the ones that want leadership for the wrong reason. They want it for the title. And if you wonder if you're one of those guys, I mean, you may be out there analyzing in the way everybody else leads, you know. And a lot of times these I can guys, they're the analyzers, you know. But you got to be real quick. I mean, you're sitting there, a lot of people will say, well, I could have done it better than that. Well, there's been a lot of opportunities in this church for you to raise your hand if you can do it better than a lot of us, okay? And so we really do offer that opportunity for any one of y'all that thinks y'all are going to do it better than us to come on, you know? And so I know that's even the fact that people want to be in a leadership position. See, I even believe at times that God calls people, but some people get to that position God calls them to a little too early. Because wherever God calls, he's going to provide. And so you may have the talent to do it, but you may not have the character to do it yet. See? And that's the thing, because God's in the character building business. He don't care about a bunch of talented people. Okay? God wants somebody with a heart for him before he wants somebody that's got the talent to do it. I'll tell you, the last thing we need up here is a bunch of, I mean, I've seen some really, really talented preachers and stuff, but they just don't, they're preaching with no power. They're preaching on their own ability and their own talent. Okay? We don't need that. We need people who love God with all their heart. Because God picks unlikely people to lead. I look at David. He's a shepherd boy. And y'all turn over to 1 Samuel 16. That's, maybe y'all find it before I do. <That's>, We got this idea of what leaders ought to look like, you know, a lot of times. 1 Samuel 16, we're going to start in verse 6. Okay. And Samuel was there in the house of Jesse. He was there to go to find and anoint the next king. Okay, and we're going to pick up in verse 6. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, we got to pick leaders by the way the Lord does, okay? And then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen him this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor the Lord has chosen this. And Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. He's a shepherd. Pretty cool, huh? Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. And see, that's pivotal right there, because leadership isn't man-made. True biblical leadership, God appoints, okay? It says, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. See, there was nothing special about David. But from the minute that God said, he's the one, And he anointed him. The power of the Lord was on David. That's the difference in the David that we see in this Bible. It's the power of the Lord is on him. And that's what we need. We need people who are committed to allowing God to have the power and use them. Okay? So God does things different than we do. So even though Peter's addressing leaders, we can all learn something tonight, just like I said. We're all leading someone in our homes, at work, every team leader here, every deacon, every staff member, every counselor, and anyone working with people of any age or in any way. You're a leader. Basically all of us. You know, and it seems like every time I preach, I come up with I think it's got to be our model at Living Hope, Brian. We are in this together. Right? I mean, God, because just from the structure of our leadership and everything, I mean, you know, we're in this together. I mean, because I can't do it without you, and you can't do it without me. And we need each other. And so what I wanted to do tonight, right before I even got into the text, I mean, I just wanted to pray. I just want to pray over you guys and just maybe a prayer commitment. I mean, because really, we're going to need some of y'all to become leaders, and y'all don't think y'all are leaders yet, okay? But let me pray. I want to pray over you guys. I just want to commit this time to the Lord. I just want to pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here at Living Hope, Bryan. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, would be a night of commitment, Lord, that every excuse that we have for not loving you with all our heart, Lord, would begin to fade in the reality that you love us so much, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, against any spirit that tells somebody that they can't be a leader. Lord, I pray against any spirit that tells someone that they can be a leader. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be the one who appoints and anoints. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we commit ourselves to you. And so I pray if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that's just holding back, keeping you at arm's length, Lord, I pray that even tonight, as we look into these scriptures, Lord, they'll see some tangible things, Lord, that they can do to just begin that process of becoming a leader. But we need more leaders. We need more leaders in our workplace. We need more leaders in our homes. But we need dads to be spiritual leaders of homes. And so, Lord, I ask that you would do a special thing in here tonight, even though we're speaking to official leaders tonight. Lord, use your word, Lord, to prick hearts. Amen. Thank you all for allowing me to do that. And in this context tonight, we are definitely talking about leaders, the elders of the church. And one of the things I know in this group, I really wanted to do, if I could get Brian and Joe to stand up, okay? Because some of y'all, go ahead, Joe, and I won't make y'all stand up forever, because I'm going to tell you, they wouldn't want to stand up because they're not serving to get y'all's vision. The main thing, I want you guys to know, this, Brian, Joe, and myself are the elders of Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian. And we have a leadership team that is a communication team made up of all the ministry team leaders, and we meet monthly to do some other things. So if you're a member of that, would you please stand up? And there's way more than that because most of them are serving. That's what leaders do, okay? But this is what I really wanted y'all to know because this is a different deal from a typical Baptist church, okay? The idea of elders and the fact that I'm sitting here, I'm the teaching elder, whatever title you want to give it, you know? What we decided as a core group is that we wanted to do this, go to this elder system, and what we've learned about the study of elders is that each elder, there's no spiritual superiority or rank in the ideas of elders. And it's always been a plurality of elders. And so what you have here at Living Hope, Bryan, I just want y'all to know what y'all have. You'll have three guys with three different talents and three different gifts serving the same God with the same equal responsibility, with the same equal authority, okay? So none of us is more important than the other out of us three. We meet as a leadership team and all these leaders, and really, we really want you to have an opportunity and an avenue to be able to go as the body, because we got to be able to hear from the body. So if you have something to say, if you'll go to your ministry team leaders or one of us elders, but if you have a question about a specific elder, be ready for maybe me to tell you, well, if it's about children's, go see Brian, okay, because that's what we've done. I don't know everything about everything, but if I don't know it and it's about children's, I'm gonna ask Brian. Joe is the nuts and bolts. I'm the teaching elder. And, you know, some of y'all have called me the pastor. I mean, I'll take that, you know. Because I really feel more like a pastor than I do a teaching elder. Because I love y'all. Man, I have that heart for people. I have the heart to see you guys grow. And I want to see y'all in places even further past where God's brought me. Okay, I do have that pastor's heart, and I love y'all. And so if y'all want to call me pastor, y'all can call me pastor. I don't really care. Oh, Alan, Brother Alan, hey, you, buddy, go get pick up that chair. You know, we're good that we're all in this thing together, okay? And so I really want to let y'all know that that's the authority figures in this church. And Butch is kind of like our Paul. He comes back and forth. But really, if you have a problem that it pertains to this church, you don't need to go to Butch Smith. Because we are the leaders of this church. And see, we meet with him, and we still have this connection with all the other churches. So it's really cool the way this works, you know. It's amazing. But I just want to let y'all guys know that, just kind of what's going on. If y'all ever have any questions, I mean, we're here to communicate needs and things like that. Okay, it's a unique deal, and it really works really, really well. Okay? Did I touch everything, guys? Y'all good? All right. So let's go ahead and get to the scriptures. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. He says, to the elders, I appeal. Let me go ahead and just read the whole passage there. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Oh, a fellow elder. That's redneck right there. I'll tell you, I got that with me. I'm sorry. Another one of them things just slips out. A witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen. And so we're in verse 1, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. And so he's talking to the elders. Those elders were the governing, shepherding, overseeing male leaders of that time of the church, and typically they were older. Okay, so in that time the elders were usually something because of the name elders. They were older, but really, age has nothing to do with being a leader or an elder. It's a spiritual thing, you know. And God, so if you're a young guy out there, don't think you got to wait till you get 60 to become a leader. And if you're 60 out there, don't think you're already a leader, okay? Because it doesn't matter your age. It matters where God's called you and where God's led you and the spiritual growth that you've had. It has nothing to do with your age, okay? But Peter's sitting here saying, I appeal as a fellow. God, I can't keep doing that. I need to get some water. I appeal as a fellow elder, okay? But that's important, okay? Because he's putting himself on their level, and basically what he's saying by that, he's saying, I'm with you, okay? I understand where you're coming from, because he's talking to these leaders, another thing he's saying is, I've been there, and we're going to find out Peter has seen a lot of things, and he's been through a whole lot. But this would have been a real comforting thought for these elders, who the churches that they were responsible for were scattered much across Asia Minor because of the persecution. See, the fact that he said, man, as a fellow elder, I understand where you guys are coming from. And really, that's a big deal because sometimes encouragement from a leader sometimes means more. You know, I mean, even though, and you three guys, me, Brian, and Joe, and you leaders of these ministry teams, I want y'all to get this right here. Because a lot of times, it's almost like the blessing of a father sometimes. When you're in a leader position, sometimes it's a little bit better, more encouragement to the body if a leader will come up and say, hey, you're really doing a great job. Okay? And so we recognize that. And so other people, y'all need to recognize that in positions that y'all have in people's life as well. Okay? It's always easier to take instruction from someone who you know has been where you are. So I think it's really important that man, I've been there, and Peter's saying that to them. And he said, not only have I been a fellow elder, I've also been a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who has also will share in the glory to be revealed. See, Peter's seen it all. Peter was there. He was with Jesus through the miracles, the arrest, the crucifixion, the resurrection. He saw the resurrected Jesus, and he was there at the transfiguration. And Peter's the one saying, man, this is cool. Let's just build three shelters for you and Elijah. And, you know, y'all can just stay here forever. This because Jesus said he was going to be going. But Peter said, no, man, this is cool. Let's just all hang out together. And so Peter, he's always an impulsive guy. So he's seen a whole lot. And, you know, he's the one that did the denying, you know. And so this particular appeal to these guys, because he's going to appeal to them. And the fact that he's a fellow elder and a witness of Christ, it validated what he was going to say. Okay? And it should validate what he's going to say to us. Because just like I said, we're all leaders at some point. So what's Peter appealing to them to do? Okay? So let's turn over on verse 2. And then we're getting into the text now. So Peter is asking them, okay, I know things are going rough. Your flock is scattered. Things aren't really working out. But here's what I want you to do. Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. So he's asking them to be shepherds. And we look at that picture of a shepherd, and shepherds do a lot of different things, but one of the things that come up with was they lead, feed, and give heed. I stole that one from Butch. Lead, feed, and give heed. But basically what the shepherds do, and really, as we begin to look at that, look at yourself as the leader of the church and where you're at. You're leading somebody. You're leading your family. You're leading people. You're leading somebody somewhere, okay? So be a shepherd. As a leader, as a shepherd, he leads out. He looks out ahead of time for people. He makes provisions for the sheep. He puts them to a different pasture at times, where the better grass is, and he looks out to make sure that they're going to be protected. And so as a leader, man, we got to be a visionary. We got to be looking out past just what's going on today, okay? As we lead people. And also we need to feed people. And I think in the church, this is an area that gets a lot of the abuse, is because I think people feel like that it's the pastor's job just to keep spoon feeding you until you're 80 years old. Because there was a guy in one of our churches before, he was saying, if the pastor don't feed me, I'm going to leave because if I don't feed my cows, they're going to leave. But really, honestly, when you're feeding somebody something, unless you're crippled or young or something like that and needs a little extra care, and some of y'all here tonight are crippled and young. You're crippled in your faith and you're young in your faith, and you need us to come along and gently feed you and come alongside you. But some of you are old enough to feed yourself. And I have never seen a shepherd out there pulling up grass and stuffing it in a sheep's mouth, For real. I mean, some of us, we're old enough to get into the Word of God and begin to get into this ourselves, And so it's really not the shepherd's job to make sure you grow spiritually. See, what the shepherd does, he's there to feed you. Now what it is the shepherd's job is to feed you something that's good for you. You look at it in an idea of a parent. If a parent did nothing but feed their kid candy, that would not be a wise investment of that child. That wouldn't be a good stewardship of that. And so as a shepherd, as Joe and Brian and myself and all you teachers and stuff, it is our job to feed you something that's useful and that's going to help you grow and is going to be the best thing for you. That's why we are so strong about the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is, and that's why we preach like we preach, because we go through these series and we do what we call expositional preaching. We take the Word of God and we preach what's there. So if for some reason that you're angry that you're going to be asked to be a leader and you're here tonight, I can't help it. You came on week, whatever. You came on chapter 5. I didn't start this up because I knew you was coming. Okay, and so that's the beauty of what we're feeding you. This is valuable. This Word of God is able to change our lives. And so if you're here tonight, man, God really wants to work on you in the area of leadership. Okay, if you're here tonight, so we got to feed the sheep. But we also got to give heed. I mean, we've got to warn you at times when you're doing crazy things. That shepherd's got that stick and that staff for a reason. Okay? Hopefully you're the kind of sheep that he can put that stick on the end of your nose and you'll kind of ease over here. Because if you don't, whack, he's gonna pop you upside the head, And how many been popped upside the head? All right. He has that for a reason. And if you go to wandering too far and you get into the kind of danger that really could threaten your life, I heard of a story where the shepherd broke the sheep's legs. Okay? Even though that sounds mean to some of y'all, it put more emphasis on the shepherd because after he broke the legs, he had to carry the sheep. And that's the kind of shepherd that we're talking about. Jesus. Y'all turn over to John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. There's not a greater example of a shepherd than Jesus. And so he's the good shepherd. Let's turn over there and read real quick. See what a good shepherd does. Starting in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And this is Jesus talking. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. See, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd knows the sheep. Okay? And the good shepherd's looking for more sheep. See, and that's the way we ought to be. Man, we just can't get this. We just can't get this for ourselves and say, this is me and mine and my family's just fine. Okay? A good shepherd is looking for more sheep. Okay? Because there's sheep that aren't of this pen yet. And that's what evangelism is all about. Looking for more sheep. Okay? So we're all leading. And it says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. And that's a big deal because this is God's flock. Y'all are not my flock. You're not Joe's flock. You're not Brian's flock. You are God's flock. God brought every one of you here. So for me to, as you students, man, nothing hits more closer to home than this is that having to let you students go every year. Because, man, it just kills me, you know? But you're not my flock. See, it's bigger. What we're doing is bigger than Living Hope Brian. Got nothing to do with Living Hope Brian, really, you know? So while you're here, I want to be a good shepherd to you. I want to feed you. I want to grow you. So when you go out, you can be a shepherd to somebody as well. Okay? God build his church. Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church. But this is not our church. It's not our family. This is not your employees, your coworkers, or even your parents. See, some of y'all can be shepherds to your own parents at times. Okay? But they're not yours. They're still God's, and so you got to do it God's way. We're serving as overseers. As overseers, the spiritual condition of the flock should be of great importance. We are to serve and actively look out for each other. And another thing an overseer does, he doesn't do it for them. An overseer is there for advice. An overseer is there to let you make mistakes. But an overseer is there to care about your spiritual condition, okay, and to serve you and look after you. And, you know, and I look at this, it talks about being shepherds, and I can't help but believe that Peter, when he was writing this, his encounter with Jesus in John chapter 21 was in the back of his mind when Jesus came to him. And what really the context of this, Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus. Jesus told him to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 21, we see Peter and six other disciples. I don't know how long it had been. He had seen the resurrected Jesus. Peter and six other disciples. That's a big deal. Peter decided, man, I'm just going to go fishing. Jesus told him to stay in Jerusalem. Peter decided to get up and go fishing. And some people may think, well, he just wanted to pass the time. I don't know how long it had been since Jesus hadn't come up. But really, some of the commentators, and as I've read this and studied, I really believe that Peter finally just said, man, I don't know about this. I'm going to go back to what's natural to me. I'm going to go fishing. And that's what he did. He went fishing, and he took six other guys with him. He's leading people into disobedience, okay? So Peter's doing this, and he goes fishing, and he goes out. And the reason I don't think he was doing it on a day trip, because if you do the study from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee where he was at, was a long ways. Okay, so I really think Peter decided, you know what, I used to be a fisherman. That's normal to me. I'm going to go back to being a fisherman. But he's bringing other people in his disobedience. He goes out there and he catches zero fish. You go ahead and go do it your way. You're going to catch zero fish. I'm just telling you, you got to do it God's way. But God in his grace, Jesus in his grace, comes to him in the middle of all that, standing on the bank and says, and he didn't say, hey, what are y'all doing out here? He said, friends, do you have any fish? No, by the way, we got zero fish, you know. He said, cast on the other side of the boat. Like we hadn't done that, you know, all night long. They cast on the other side of the boat, catch a ton of fish, and Jesus invites them to the bank to eat some fish, okay? And what's so funny is I was reading that story, is Jesus already cooking fish, and they ain't even made it back to the bank with the fish. So they don't need, Jesus don't need your fish, okay? And so I see Peter doing this, but all this story, that's another whole story. I could preach another whole thing on it. But it's such a cool story about the fact that he goes, and through all this, Jesus went to all this trouble to talk to Peter. He gets him off to the side, and here's what he says. He says, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." And we know the story where he restored him, because Peter denied him three times, and he restored him three times. He asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And he said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And I just want you to know that's where the difference is. We got to love Jesus. I'm asking you, I mean, if you're not a leader, do you love Jesus? If you do, feed his sheep. I mean, if you love God, you'll be feeding sheep. You'll become a leader. You'll do whatever it takes to bring more people into the kingdom if you love God. Because it says if you love God, you'll obey his commands. Okay? But I can't help think that Peter, in this letter, was some way fulfilling that command. Because Peter's writing this letter to these people, and he's feeding sheep, just like Jesus told him to do. Okay? But Peter messed up a lot. So, do you love me? And we're going on from there. It says, of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must. And it's just like what I just said. We don't do it because we must. We do it because we love Jesus. Not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. And so some of us, I think we fill positions a lot of times in the church out of the process of elimination. You know, because no one else will do it. You say, okay, well, I got to do it because ain't nobody else going to do it. That's arrogant. If God thinks it needs to be done, he's going to bring somebody to do it. Here's the thing what I learned in little churches. Sometimes you have people in children's ministry who don't even like children. Okay? But they do a children's ministry because they think they need a children's ministry. I'm going to tell you, as a parent and as a Christian, I would rather have my child sitting in with somebody called to preach than somebody not called to do children's. Because it's about the calling. It's not about getting a job done. Okay? But what we're fortunate, we've got some amazing preschool people who are called to love on your kids. They love your kids. They want to teach them. They ain't not just babysitting back there. They're learning back there, okay? They love them, and they are servants. So if you got some kids, bring them on. We got some amazing people who are going to take care of your kids. About to get lost here. And that's the thing about filling these jobs. God doesn't need you. He wants you. He don't need you. He don't need to get a job done. He wants you. And one thing that we're not going to do here at Living Hope, Brian, is we're not going to appoint leadership if you're not ready. And you know how I know you're ready? If you're serving. That's what happens. I mean, when you serve, that's when people see that you're living. You just start serving and loving Jesus, and then all of a sudden you're going to end up being a leader. Okay, but it's not because you must, not because the job needs done, because we learn in experiencing God that the need doesn't constitute the call. You know, and some of you people need to say no every now and again. You're yes people. You're taking jobs God has for somebody else, and you're getting burnt out. See, we don't need that. We don't need that because you must, but because you're willing as God wants you to be. See, I can't talk you into becoming a leader. It must come from an uncontrollable desire and commitment to please God. I can't motivate you to lead any more than I can motivate you to get saved. It's got to come from God drawing you, and you have a love for God that surpasses everything else. That's where it's got to come from. Authentic faith in God says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. But counterfeit faith says, I can't, so why even try? It's too hard. It goes back to my title again. Committed leaders are committed to God, his ways, and his provisions. And as we go down, there's a couple of things. We're talking about not greedy for money, but eager to serve. There's some things that hinder authentic leadership in contrast to things that enhance authentic leadership. And that one is not greedy for money, but eager to serve. See, if money's your motivation, you're going to be like the hired hand in John 10. If money's your motivation, you'll bail when time gets hard. Okay, because sometimes it just ain't worth what they're paying you. You know? It's because you don't love the sheep. When the wolf comes, you just scatter because the money ain't good enough. Okay? If money's your motivation. And if money's your motivation, you will be self-centered in your decisions. Because it says not greedy for money. I don't know very many greedy people that are trying to make more money to give to somebody else. Okay? So just the fact that you're greedy for money means that you're self-centered. Okay? And if you're a leader greedy for money and you're self-centered, the decisions you make for the church and the decisions you make for your sheep, they're going to be self-centered. Okay? And so you can't be greedy for money because it also easily distracts you. I mean, if all you're looking for is a job that pays, you're doing it for the wrong reason. I'm going to tell you, if you're not called to ministry, you're going to get eat up. Because ministry is hard. If you're here just for a job and you're here just to get paid, you ain't going to make it. I'm just telling you, because it gets hard. There's going to be a time where you're going to need God to come inside you and say, hey, man, it's all right. I know the money ain't there, but it don't matter. It ain't about money, okay? Because the Bible tells us that you can't serve two masters. Because you're going to end up hating the one and loving the other. You can't serve both God and money. But in contrast to being greedy for money, eager to serve. And that word eager is zealous. That zealot, a zealot is somebody who'll do anything for the cause, okay? And you're so eager to serve, as opposed to greedy for money. And that's such a difference and a contrast because that's God and others focused, the fact that you're eager to serve. In verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Turn to Mark 10, verse 42 and 43. I always like to use as much scripture as I can so y'all can't get on me. I can tell you what I think that verse says, but I think Mark 10 tells us a little bit as well, okay? 42 through 43. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be Who wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus is our example. He served, okay? So you're not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That means you're being a servant leader. You're not, as a leader, or even in your workplace. This works great in the workplace. Just try it, okay? Being a servant leader, not bossy, not lazy. Even though you're in authority, you don't abuse it. See, you don't just give out the menial jobs. Every now and again, as the boss, you do one of them. You know, and that's the way it is in the church. I mean, that can be done in your family. Dad, start serving some of them kids every now and again instead of bossing them around. You know, start serving that wife instead of bossing them around. And so there's a variety of ways that we can apply this. Okay, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And if you're not already serving, you're not going to start when you get a position. And that's what I said. You know, don't think that just because you get a job, you're going to start serving. Because if you ain't already got that servant's heart, you're not going to get it by just getting a title. Jesus has given us many examples of servant leadership, but when he washed the disciples' feet, he was an example to them of love and humility. He could have delegated that job to any one of them. Because the people who washed the feet in that culture were usually the servants, okay? But Jesus decided to be a servant, to show and model that to them. I mean, this can apply in the home as well as the workplace as well. And so this idea of serving and having this servant heart, I'm going to tell you, you will not be able to conjure it up. If you're not a servant in your heart, you're not going to be able to just serve, okay? Some of y'all may be able to sign up on some of the ministry teams and legalistically meet the requirements of membership here at Living Hope Bryan. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not doing it from your heart, you're going to get absolutely no spiritual and no rewards in heaven at all. Okay, you're just going to be dead. You're just going to be tired. Okay, because serving out of love for God and passion always goes further than serving out of obligation, need, or even pay. See, because if you don't, you're gonna experience that stuff that so many people experience, especially in small churches, called burnout. Okay? Any of y'all ever just been burnt out about something? Okay? You suffer burnout. But here's the thing. That burnout's back on you as a Christian. Because here's what I learned about burnout. I've been there. And this is what I've learned about burnout. That when you're burnt out, you're doing it under your own power and your own vision and usually your own will. Because see, if God calls, He also provides the power to do it. And the Holy Spirit of God does not burn out. Okay? So if you're burnt out, even today, you need to back off and say, how did I get to where I'm at? Because I shouldn't be burnt out. Because if God called me to do it, He's going to give me the power. He's going to give everything I need for me to do this job. So if you're burnt out, step back and say, God, what's the problem? Because we don't need people serving out of need. We need people serving because they got a heart for God. Okay? So when the chief shepherd appears, verse 4, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Praise the Lord. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. See, Jesus is coming back. We talked about that the last time I talked. He's coming back. Whether you believe it or not, He's coming back. He's going to either find you faithful, or He's going to find you. He's either going to find you faithful with what He entrusted us with, or we'll be judged for our lack of concern and action. See, He's coming back. And you might as well get ready. Just like we talked last time, my pregnant sister, you know, He's coming back. We know He's coming back, so we might as well live like we're ready for Him to come back. But we need to be found faithful because these bodies, this flock, we're just stewards of it, you know? Our family and all these things. I mean, what a sad thing it'll be if Jesus comes back and you're a dad and your family is no further closer to God than it was when he gave them to you. I'm going to tell you what, that's your goal as a dad, to bring your family more spiritual, closer to God every day, okay? And so that's not meant to beat any of you guys down, because here's the thing, all of us have failed. But here's the cool thing, you can start right today. You can start right today with the power of the Holy Spirit, and your family can change overnight. Many times it doesn't because you have so much baggage that goes on with that, but I'm going to tell you, it can. God can do some amazing things if you just back out of the way and let Him do it. But you got to be a servant from your heart, not because you want a better family. See, there's a lot of areas that we can apply this to. I mean, if you got a messed up workplace, start loving people. Start serving people from your heart and let God change that atmosphere. I mean, how we lead people is a big deal to God. If we're found faithful, we're going to receive a crown of glory. A well done, my good and faithful servant. This will last forever, unlike some of the worldly honors and possessions that we receive from the world that thieves break in and steal and moth and rust destroy. And we spend so much time gathering up things that are just going to be ruined. You know, they're not going to make it through the fire when you enter the fire of judgment. Your Porsche is going to get burned up. I don't know if anybody here has one. I wish I did, but even if I did, it'd get burned up. So, you know, I'm going to invest in the kingdom. I know it's hard, and sometimes we have to suffer, but in Romans 8:17, we're told, we share in His suffering in order that we may share in His glory. That's the cool part. You know, yeah, we're going to suffer. It stinks down here sometimes. But we do that as Christians so we can share in His glory. And with that, so I want to close with the fact that don't look at leadership as a burden. Don't look at leadership as something that you want to stay as far away from as you possibly can. Look at leadership as an honorable ambition. It's an honorable ambition, okay? I'm going to close like we started in 1 Peter. This is earlier in the series. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Y'all turn back just a few pages in 1 Peter, and I want to close with that. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. See, these trials come so we'll know that we have the real thing. It may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And this is the part that I really like. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. We persevere, you know, we're receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls, but it's not just about us. I mean, what a great job or goal that we've been given to lead people to the salvation of their souls. And that's what we're doing when we live out our faith in front of people, okay? If your faith's not real to you, it's not going to be real to anybody that you come in contact with. We have a goal to lead people to the salvation of their soul. God saves and provides the flock. We're not going to save anybody. God saves and provides the flock, but we get to be a part of leading them to Jesus by shepherding and overseeing. But before we can lead anyone anywhere, we must first be committed to God and then committed to lead others. We're either leading people to God or we're leading them away from God. And so you're leading somebody tonight. So I'm going to pray, and we have a time the worship team comes up, and we just have a time of commitment, prayer, whatever you want to do. My prayer tonight is that, man, you would commit to God that your life, I'm just telling you, he's worth committing your life to. And if that's salvation and you need to come speak to me, or we have cards on the visitor's card on the back, the gospel presentation is there. And you can read through that. Because it takes a real commitment. You read through that. I mean, if you want to turn that in and somebody will get with you. But really, if you want to come forward, this is the time, some time of even commitment. And I know in these little tight things, it's hard to get out. So you can pray right there. And so I really think that a lot of us really want to be leaders, but we just don't know how. So if you want, I'll be up here up front and I'll be to pray with you guys. Brian, I'm sure Joe would pray with you guys. I mean, we just want everybody to get the joy of serving like we do. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. And Lord, I thank you for your message and your challenge that you give us in your word of being shepherds, Lord. And the fact that really it's not optional. And the fact that that you love us so much, you allow us to be a part in the salvation of souls. Man, what an amazing job. It's got to be better than anything we do on a weekly basis. And so, God, I ask that you would just challenge people to step up, Lord. Not to get a job done here at Living Hope Bryan, but, Lord, to change their community, change their workplace, change their family. Lord, but if it's something we need to do here, I ask, Lord, that you would just bring forth leaders so we can get to see what you have planned for this amazing group of people. This time of invitation, I pray you just speak. If people need to come, have them come. People need to sit there and deal with you, have them sit there and deal with you. Lord, let them realize that you love them with all your heart. So it's only right that we should give back to you. Amen. He definitely is Lord, right? I wanted to read y'all, y'all get the worship guide thing here. One thing I want to bring your attention to, on the bottom there is a phone number that is the church phone number. Miss Dixie usually keeps that particular phone, and so if you need to get in touch with any of the three elders or anybody associated with the church, just call that phone number, okay? I want to close by reading that one quote from another, that same book, Spiritual Leadership, J. Oswald Sanders. It says, real leaders are in short supply, constantly people and groups search for them. Throughout the Bible, God searches for leaders too. The Bible shows us that when God does find a person who is ready to lead, to commit to full discipleship, and to take on responsibility for others, that person is used to the limit. Such leaders still have shortcomings and flaws, but despite them, they become spiritual leaders. So just don't discount yourself, you know, because God can do some amazing things. Thank you all for coming tonight. Any instructions from you guys as far as help preschool? Did we have pretty much the same thing, or is it with
the new preschool pickup procedures? Make sure the older classes go to the left side of the hallway.
All right. Okay. See how I diverted all that? That's far as I said. I don't have to know everything. Again, thank you all for coming. We'll do a closing song, and y'all be dismissed.